The following is a paid program. The content has been provided by Glazer and Associates. WFTL, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Some of the opinions and endorsements provided herein were in exchange for compensation from Glazer and Associates.
Good morning. Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs. We're here each Sunday at 11 on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer and Sachs PA. That's a law firm specializing in community association law and having offices in Fort Lauderdale and satellite offices in Orlando and Tampa. And we're here each week to answer all your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. We love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your condo and HOA questions, no matter where you are in the state. So give us a call right here in the studio, 877-850-8585 again. That's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the email the show tab.
Hey, good morning, everybody. If you're a fan of the show and like to read our blogs and newsletters, just make sure to go to our website. Sign up at condocrazeandhoas.com. Join our email list. By joining each week, you can get announcements about the show, our blog, our free seminars. We did one this week. Our newsletters, updates on the law, and a lot more. Tomorrow's blog topic, appeals court says the golf course stays. Interesting case.
Can that is...
simply take your golf course away.
No, you bought there because you wanted to live on a golf course.
We'll definitely talk about that, and we'll try to get to that today, as a matter of fact. But before we start, I just want to say thank you to all of the folks, and a lot of them showed up at the Broward County Convention Center on Wednesday for our Condo Craze Board Certification course. Again, great turnout. Everyone really seemed to enjoy. And if you're listening out there, and if you showed up on Wednesday, call in today.
Yeah.
Let us know what you thought. 877-850-8585. Let us know.
It's great to see that board members showed up for an 8:30 class instead of signing that dumb, silly, self-serving affidavit.
Yeah, you know, you got, when you get there and you realize, and I tell everybody that, you know, you guys are here at 8:30. You volunteered your time, you know,
yep.
You got out of bed at probably 6 o'clock in the morning,
right,
to get here, and then you tell them, but guess what? Someone else can just sign that affidavit while they're at home in their pajamas, you know, and they're certified to the same extent you are. You got to see that look.
Well, you're supposed to read
faces.
What? What are you supposed to read?
You're supposed to read your governing documents and say, I promise to enforce them. Now, the funny part is a lot of communities, their documents contain illegal provisions.
Right.
So that document that they're making you sign, you're swearing to enforce the illegal provisions that are now in your documents.
So, I mean, information is power, and you always give information, new information. Things change at your seminars, which is fantastic. But if I sign that affidavit and I haven't actually read what I'm supposed to, that, you know, I'm saying, yes, I read it and I didn't, is that illegal?
Technically, yes. Yeah, you're in fact lying in that affidavit, but...
It
is what it is. Is it perjury? Probably not, because I don't believe the affidavit's it's actually sworn to.
Oh, that's right.
So I don't think you get in trouble, but, you know,
you have
shame
to have
on
a witness?
You if you don't even read it. No, you don't.
Oh,
you
never
don't have
mind.
A witness. Right. So it's just a silly, ridiculous law, and certainly I'd like to see it where the legislature makes you get out of bed and actually
yes.
takes the class for 2 hours. I mean,
makes
what's
sense.
The big deal, right? But before we get going, terrible week, of course. Since our last show, and I'm referring to the massacre in Las Vegas where 59 people were killed. And I tell you, I stayed in that hotel in the Mandalay Bay so many times. It's a great place. It really is. And unfortunately for them, that's now always going to be labeled as the place where the largest mass shooting in the history of the country, you know, occurred. It's going to be difficult for them to probably stay in business with that happening previously.
Eric, we're not supposed to talk about it.
Yeah, why? Well, we're going to talk
about
it
today. I've been told by Sean Hannity and many others it's too soon to talk about it.
But yeah, and I disagree with that.
Even though it's the worst, you know, case of mass shooting in our history. But
right.
Amazing that he was able to get all those weapons in his room. I wonder if the bellhop brought one of those carts. He said,
yeah,
here,
right.
Let me help you with those 10 bags.
Can you imagine 10 bags
of guns,
right?
I'll just wheel it up for you, sir.
You're right.
And, you know, the hotel isn't an airport. You don't have to go through metal detectors. But, you know, wow.
I know. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
And all those and the bullets. There were thousands of rounds of bullets.
Thousands of bullets. Right. You know. Look, it's no secret I'm a Republican, and oftentimes I take a more conservative position on this show, and sometimes get flack from it. But I'll tell you, I'm also pro Second Amendment. I'm a concealed weapons holder, but I got no problem saying at this point I'm certainly no fan of the NRA. You know, when they can take the position that someone who's on the federal no-fly list should still be able to get a gun, you know, that's where we part ways. And, you know, the government thinks you're too much of a risk to get on an airplane, but the NRA still wants you to be able to walk into a gun store and make a purchase. And that's simply not a position I can back. You know, like I said, we go our separate ways. Yeah.
Something did work because he wanted the tracer bullets that light up after you shoot him. And
right.
That would have helped him with more accuracy. But
right.
If something happened, he was unable to get those. So that's a good thing. But what about the assault rifles in general? The AR-15s that he had with the bump stocks, those are not assault rifles. But do you think the average person should be able to walk into a gun shop and get an assault rifle or, which is not, an AR-15 with a bump stock?
Well, I'll tell you a story. One day, a long time ago, I settled a big case for a client, and a few days after we settle, I walk into my office, and there's a gift for me on my desk. And what is it? AK-47.
Oh, jeez.
Believe it or not, totally legal.
It's like a Kalashnikov?
It's insanity, and I'll say
oh
this. There's no reason... No reason for anybody other than a police officer or, you know, the SWAT team or a soldier
they
to
didn't
possess
have,
such a weapon.
They didn't have the weapons that this guy at the Mandalay
right, exactly. Yeah,
they were outgunned, the police
Can you
were.
Imagine that? Right.
Yeah.
You know, I would have no problem whatsoever if the federal government banned these assault weapons for people to keep in their homes. It's simply too much power in one person's hand.
Well, what kind
ridiculous.
Of animal are you going to shoot with that AK-47?
A dinosaur. Believe me, that could bring down a dinosaur. Trust me when I tell you.
Yeah, a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
It's just ridiculous, you know. Right.
His arms are too little to hold a gun.
Yeah, right.
So the gun advocates say that we allow the government, if we allow the government to take away our assault weapons, what's next? I mean, even the bump stocks. Some people have a problem with them taking away the bump stocks.
Can you imagine some people having a problem with that? You know,
What about like a red flag? Okay, you bought 33 guns in a year. You actually, you know, had to go through a background check 33 times in 1 year. Shouldn't there be a red flag there, or is that a registry?
No, you would think that would trigger, you know, something. Some a light would go on somewhere that says, wait a minute, person bought 33 assault rifles and weapons in 1 year. Maybe someone should check that out. But no, you know, again, the NRA is against any regulation whatsoever. But, you know, where will it end? How about we start by making it illegal to manufacture, you know, any product like that bump stock that turns your rifle into a machine gun and makes it into an automatic weapon? You know, here's the insanity about that law. It's illegal to own an automatic weapon, but it's not illegal to manufacture that product that turns your non-automatic weapon into a fully automatic weapon. Does that make any sense to anybody?
No.
You know, it's absolutely insane.
Well, the ATF looked at it in 2010 and said, well, it's not an actual gun, it's a part, so we're not going to regulate it. So.
Right. Yeah. But again, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, Congress is working on this this week, I understand. I know Feinstein has a bill, and Carlos Cabello from Broward, a Republican, has a bill on the bump stock.
Well, I'd like to see it go through. And like you said, it is called a bump stock. And I hope the legislation passes immediately. But here's what we all have to admit, though. You know, on the other hand, right, if a person is a madman, they can do damage without a gun. Look at Nice and look in Barcelona. The massacre in Nice, I think, were 90 victims. It was actually more victims, I believe, than there was in the massacre in Las Vegas just now. And that was done with a car.
Well, he also Paddock had ammonium nitrate, too, in the car.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So, and 9/11, done with airplanes, right?
Yeah.
But here's another thought, you know, something to chew on. You know, assault rifles and machine guns, they've existed for decades and decades, right?
Yeah.
Yet all of these mass shootings have generally happened only in the last few years. You know, why now? Why this dramatic increase
in violence? The one-upmanship, yeah.
Yeah, but that's for another show. How about we take our first call of the day, Jack from West Palm Beach.
Hello?
How are you, Jack?
I'm fine, thank you. My question, I guess, is probably fairly general. Some of the units in our condos have reported leaks in the last few months. And then after the hurricane, others were reporting leaks or additional leaks. Now, the association says that the problem was cracks in the outside stucco.
Okay.
My question is, if that's the truth, any damage to the inside of the unit caused by that water that leaked through those cracks, who would be responsible for paying for the damage?
Well, it's a dangerous admission by the association. Okay, dangerous admission that the association just made. They admitted that it was coming in through the stucco, wasn't properly waterproofed. So if a unit owner can prove that the board knew or should have known that the building wasn't waterproofed properly, yet they ignored it, then the association could be responsible in a court of law under a negligence theory for the damages that occur to the unit and its contents. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, I think what the condo tells people is we'll go through your insurance company, but if people don't have insurance, it's not going to help them.
That's correct. If people don't have insurance, it will not help them, and the only thing that the association may be responsible for is just making sure the leak doesn't happen again in the future. You're exactly right, Jack. You've been studying up.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate
you got
your
it. Let's do this. Nice. Let's take our first break of the hour. Taking your calls, everybody, on anything condo or HOA related. Want to talk politics? We're here too. If you attended the seminar, we'd love to hear from you. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Is your condominium starting to crumble? Are your balconies breaking down? Are pieces of concrete and stucco flying off your building, making the building look ugly and putting your residents at risk? Are you in need of your 40-year certification for your building? If so, you need Carousel Development and Restoration right away. Carousel is a concrete restoration company specializing in high-rise condominiums throughout South Florida. Whether you need balcony repairs, garage decks, full deck replacement, rail fabrication and installation, impact windows and doors, or painting and waterproofing, Carousel has you covered. After all, we're South Florida's largest locally owned structural restoration contractor and have been located in Delray since 1979. We know how tough it is to start projects in your condo. Where do you begin? You begin by calling the licensed and insured experts at Carousel Restoration for a free estimate. 561-272-3700. That's 561-272-3700.
Or visit the website cdri.net.
Are the roads, parking lots, and walkways in your community association in need of repair? Driveway Maintenance can help. We are the largest seal coating company in the United States and have been an industry leader for over 57 years in asphalt restoration, asphalt paving, parking lot striping and maintenance, concrete sidewalks, curbing, or ADA parking lot compliance. Let Driveway Maintenance pave the way and make your community look great. At Driveway Maintenance, we believe in well-trained personnel, top-quality equipment and materials, and friendly customer service. Our customers include office building complexes, educational facilities, hospitals, hotel chains, apartment complexes, and of course, condominium and homeowner associations, and the largest mall and big box retail companies in the country. Driveway Maintenance, Inc. is a LEED accredited, Green Advantage certified, environmentally responsible, full service asphalt paving contractor and seal coating expert. Driveway Maintenance serves the entire state of Florida and most of the southeastern United States. Call Driveway Maintenance for a free estimate at 1-800-432-1191. That's 800-432-1191. And you can visit our website at driveway.net.
Need an insurance evaluation, audit, or quotation for your condo association or homeowners association? If so, then you need to speak with our insurance experts at Mack, Mack & Waltz. We insure over 800 associations, and we are the clear leader in this marketplace. Mack, Mack & Waltz has been in business since 1989. We write insurance on billions of dollars of property values. We are an independent insurance agency representing insurance companies which specialize in condo and HOA insurance. The staff at Mack, Mack & Waltz works closely with board members and property managers and regularly attends association meetings to help educate the association about their insurance policies. To learn more about how Mack, Mack & Waltz can save you money and improve your insurance program, call now 954-640-6225 and ask for Greg Waltz. 954-640-6225, Mack, Mack & Waltz Insurance Group. Let us protect your association.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs. I'm Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Associates. Please give him a call for free advice on condos and HOAs and co-ops, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
All right, we have Donata in North Miami. How are you, Donata?
Hi, Eric. Thank you for the fantastic course.
Thank you. Yeah, you were there on Wednesday.
Yeah, I was.
Did you enjoy it?
Good. Yeah, I enjoyed it, and I learned a lot.
Yeah.
Do you think that type of course should be mandatory for directors?
I think it should be mandatory for any unit owners, because the unit owners know their rights and the
That's
laws.
That's excellent. Great point. Great point. And they may get crazy one day and decide to run for the board themselves.
Exactly.
How can we help you?
Okay. To a records inspection, Are you allowed to take with you somebody to help you do copies, for example?
No, it doesn't. Statute doesn't say that. The statute says the unit owner can get access to records, and the statute would allow, if you can't make it, your authorized representative to make it. But there's nothing in the statute, you know, you can play semantics, but there's nothing in the statute that would allow you and somebody else to attend.
Well, what if I give to the person that's coming with, give them documents and that they're representing me as well?
It's either, and I can only tell you what the statute says and how associations interpret it. Statute says you as the unit owner can go, or the authorized representative. So until that statute is changed, you know, you're on your own.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
thank you,
thanks for the call, Dino. All right, everybody, taking your calls, 877-850-8585 again. 877-850-8585. Want to move on to a new topic. You know, we spoke about this so many times on the show. Lots of new laws were passed to combat condo crime, but you know, don't be fooled by some of the new legislation that's out there. Lots of bad people were completely ignored, and I mean ignored by the new laws. You know, a bad board member or a manager stealing some money from the operating account of a condominium. Guys, that's small potatoes to some of the real crime that the Florida legislature allows to fester in our condo associations. Believe me, this theft by managers and CAMs, small stuff compared to some of the other stuff that actually is going on forever. But as usual, this has gone ignored for yet another legislative session.
Well, that's why I think it's so interesting that, you know, they can sign the affidavit and not take your class, because they're dealing with, some of these condos deal, and HOAs, they deal with millions of dollars in their budget.
Exactly.
Does that seem that they need to, you know, yeah, you're educated and they need to get some sort of certification, I would think. And
you would think, but no, that's not the law at the moment.
Millions of dollars. So we know that condo owners still get their $4 stolen from them every year.
Every single year they get their $4 stolen. That's exactly correct, Karen. You know, far and away, my two cents, the biggest crook in all this, the Florida legislature itself, and I'll tell you why. You know, each condo owner in the state, you pay that $4 per unit per year to the DBPR, and that's supposed to go right back to you guys, right back to all of you for
education.
It may
not sound like a lot, but it is.
Oh, it adds up. There's millions of condo units in the state. And that money is supposed to go right back to the people that are paying it for education, for training, for investigators, you know, and a lot more. But instead of that money that each of you are paying in actually staying at the DBPR and being used on you guys who are actually paying the bill to actually solve the very problems that the grand jury report addresses, only a percentage goes back to the DBPR and to you guys. And the Florida legislature, you should know, takes away millions of dollars each and every year from all of you, and it sweeps it into the general fund, and it uses it for other people, other things. And that, to me, that's a crime. That's stealing your money, you know, taking money specifically from the condo owners of this state and using it on other people for other things. That's stealing money from the condo owners. Someone tell me it's not. How is it not?
So, you know, we were talking about maybe getting generators for all 55 and over communities after we had this horrible situation at the nursing home in Hollywood. This money could be used for that.
It could be used for a lot of things. How about we use it for the purposes for which it was even intended in the first place?
Right, why you paid it, exactly.
Right? But no, it doesn't even go back to them. It's a crime, period.
I agree 100%. And if there are millions of condo units, I mean, remember, half of the state lives in a condo or HOA.
Yeah, pretty much. That's right.
It's an unbelievable number of people. And so that's a whole lot of money.
It's millions of dollars every year that is stolen from all of you. There's no other way to put it. It adds up, believe me, to much more money. You know, they want you to focus on you know, the condo crime by directors and officers and managers. I'm not saying that's not happening. Of course that's happening every now and then. No two ways about it. But if you look at what the state is actually stealing from you, that adds up to much more than directors and managers are stealing from community associations. But they try to deflect your attention away from what they're doing. You know, like, have you concentrate on the left hand while they rob you with the right? You know, where's the bill that fixes that crime?
Well, HOAs don't pay it. The condos, because they don't get the DBPR's help. So that's even crazier. And we had Senator Rene Garcia on the show, and he said that he was unaware that this was happening to condo owners throughout the state, but he wants to put a stop to it. I think you enlightened him.
Yeah, we certainly did on the show. Absolutely.
He didn't even know they were paying $4.
I agree. He didn't know, and he said he didn't know that the money was being swept into the general fund and stolen from the condo owners. And I sincerely hope he remembers that promise that he made right here on this show. And if he doesn't, I promise you I'm going to remind him. But, you know, besides the Florida legislature, let's put the $4 on hold for a minute. Is there even one bill ever, and I mean ever, that targets developers that refuse to turn over control over the association timely, for example?
Right.
You know, a board member refuses to turn over some records timely, and the Florida legislature demands justice and a prison sentence for this volunteer board member. Developers refuse to turn over control of entire associations for years. And you know what the penalty is?
Yeah, boy.
Nothing. Not a zero.
By the way, I think you should go back and add up all the money that was put in, the $4, and that was put into the general fund for all those years, and figure out how much it actually has accrued.
Karen, it's millions and millions and millions of dollars.
I wonder if there's any way to figure out how much it was. Anyway.
Oh, there is. They kept records on it. Okay. Absolutely.
Well, you've been saying for years on this show that developers basically get a free pass from laws. They're the ones building these places.
Absolutely. Let's keep going. I'll show you. You want to talk about free pass. What about condo developers who fix the condominium's common areas with your money, even though the condo is still under developer warranty?
Oh, boy.
Happens all the time. Is that not a developer stealing the unit owner's money, right?
Yeah.
The property is under warranty, yet they're using the unit owner's money to fix the place.
Oh.
That's stealing their money.
Yeah.
But I'll ask someone, tell me if I'm wrong. Have you ever heard of a developer getting arrested for doing this?
You know, no.
Of course not. Let's keep going. How about a developer who deliberately fails to fund a reserve account while the developer is in charge of the condo, and he leaves the condo with massive repairs to make and no money to make them with?
So he's supposed to fund it himself.
Yeah, they're supposed to, exactly. While in control of the board,
gotcha.
They're supposed to fund reserve accounts unless waived, and they screw up all the time and it's not waived, and a court eventually rules, yep, should have been funded. But now go sue a developer, right, who's basically gone. Has no more units. Their assets are basically gone.
What are you going to do?
And he sold out everything. Is that not a crime? You know, how is that allowed in this state? But it happens all the time.
So what you're saying is that a developer doesn't have to, post a bond or put up some money so that if things go south, there's money there?
That's right. Not a dollar, Karen.
That they can't go after anything.
Developer built something. Everything can break, you know, and you want to sue the developer. Developer's gone. Developer already sold out. Good luck, right? That's how this state works all the time. What about when a developer, let's keep going, developer prints exquisite advertising brochures,
right?
Showing that, you know, what the community is going to look
like.
Gosh. It looks like the Taj Mahal, right? He suckers you in, and then they fail to build as promised. Is that somehow not a crime?
Well,
that goes completely unpunished. But someone tell me any time, you know, one time that a developer has been prosecuted for condo crime in Florida, because I know of none, not one time. So I'd like to see a prosecutor's office go after one developer for ripping off buyers he sold to. Let's see one new law that requires a developer to at least post a bond that would require owners to have at least a pot of money to go after if the developer doesn't build as promised or fails to turn over property, you know, that needs eventually a complete makeover.
Yeah, but doesn't the developer supposed to have a warranty? I mean, at least according to the condo statute. I mean, so if they pick
nothing.
Up and leave, it's like worthless.
Exactly. The warranty is actually worse. That's exactly right. But instead of the legislature protecting the residents of this state against unscrupulous developers, you know, and we teach this at the course, you have a Florida legislature in place now that absolutely bends over backwards to protect developers. You know, remember a case a few years ago where the Fifth District Court of Appeal said that HOA developers, since the statute's not going to address it, we really don't know. The courts are going to hold that HOAs are automatically given a warranty by the developer for the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know what happened? Literally in an instant, the Florida legislature convened and they passed a statute that said, nope, we don't care what the court said. Developers don't have to give HOA members a warranty because it would create uncertainty in Florida's fragile real estate market. That's the that's the legislature's excuse. You would think that not providing warranties would create uncertainty in the market, right? But, you know, not according to this legislature. You want more evidence of theft on a large scale that goes unaddressed by the legislature? What about a bank purposely taking several years to foreclose on a condo unit? During that time, who's preserving the bank's collateral, that unit, right? The unit owners, who's paying to make sure that unit doesn't get flooded, that the unit has a roof over it, that the unit isn't accumulating mold, and that the common elements remain intact? It's the poor sucker condo owners who that's happening to. But instead of passing laws that make the bank pay assessments each month during their foreclosure and, in effect, you know, give the association some money back for preserving their damn collateral, nope, the Florida legislature lets the banks get away with murder. You know, they allow the banks to steal from all of you, and really that's like Robin Hood in reverse, believe me.
You know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done in Tallahassee, but you have these board members that don't have to take your course, and then they screw up, and they get sued by unit owners, and then they lose, and then the unit owners, because the board is inept, has to pay for the attorney's fees.
Oftentimes, that's actually the case.
All of it. Right. I mean, there's just it's just crazy. The unit owner is on the hook for everything. The developer,
Are. But this particular last legislative session, sure, a ton of focus on condo crime. Wonderful, wonderful. Go after the people that, that are stealing and forging ballots. I get it. No problem. But that pales, absolutely pales, in comparison to the real criminals, which is the legislature that is stealing from all of you, your $4 each and every year, and the fact that the banks and the developers are basically allowed to get away with murder.
So you think the HOAs, they don't pay the $4, so maybe they're better off?
Well, that's what some people think, you know, because some people think the it's pretty obvious. Look at the grand jury report. The DBPR is not helping the condo owners to a very large extent. So you know what? Some people feel we don't want to pay the $4.
Gotcha. But what happens if they don't pay?
If they don't pay, they actually have no right. Great question.
They can be foreclosed on?
No, if the condo doesn't pay the $4 per unit per year, they are not allowed to be a plaintiff or a defendant in a court of law in Florida.
You can't for $4 give up your right to legal
Well, that's what the law says. You lose your rights to defend or prosecute a cause of action in a Florida courtroom. So unfortunately for now, make sure those $4 are paid, but we got to take a bottom of the hour break here. Taking your calls, everybody. 877-850-8585 again. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Ah, the finer things. Spectacular wine, exotic vacations, or just the time to enjoy the view from your condo? Affinity Management Services gives you time to enjoy them. We provide management, including site, administrative, and financial services. We handle everything from complaints and collection of assessments to emergency services and maintenance, giving you more time. Fully accredited by the National Board of Certification for Community Association Managers, we promise service delivered with integrity and respect. And we're endorsed by the Better Business Bureau for our streamlined and professional approach to quality service. Join hundreds of board members across South Florida and call us today at 305-325-4243. Affinity Management Services, simplifying your life to make time for the finer things. 305-325-4243. AffinityManagementServices.com.
Having problems with the drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA? Overwhelmed by the cost of replacement or repair? Call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463. Those old days of invasive repairs to your drain pipes and sewers are over. Thanks to trenchless pipelining and sewer repair by Pipelining Technologies, you don't have to worry about destroying walls, floors, sidewalks, or even landscaping. Pipelining Technologies can fix your drain pipes and sewers without interrupting the quality of life in your community and home. First, the technicians video the source of the problem. Then the patented structural liner is inserted into your damaged pipes. The liner is then inflated to form a new pipe within the old one. And within hours, the job is finished. If drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA are failing due to cracks, corrosion, misalignment, tree roots, or they're just backed up, call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463.
And be sure to view their website and 10-year parts and labor warranty at PipeLT.com. That's PipeLT.com.
Condominium Concepts Management puts your condo's interests first. Condominium Concepts negotiates the best prices and demands the best service from all the association's vendors and providers. There are no kickbacks, no add-up charges, no double talk, and all the savings are passed on to the association. Condominium Concepts Management understands they're there to help, not take control of your association. The licensed professionals work as a team with your board of directors to come up with joint ideas to make your community a great place to live. At a time when every dollar counts, Condominium Concepts prides itself on having reasonable fees, same-day response time, educated personnel, and an eye for reducing expenses for every unit owner. Condominium Concepts can also aggressively collect from the association's delinquent owners. Call Condominium Management Concepts, 772-618-5370 for a free quote. That's 772-618-5370. Learn how Condominium Concepts is helping the communities throughout the Southeast. Visit their website, condominiumconcepts.com.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. The number to call to talk to Eric, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. Eric Glazer specializes in community association law.
Hey, big week up ahead again. As you guys know, the election season is here for condos and HOAs. We already spoke about the course that we had earlier in the week at the Broward County Convention Center. And remember, guys, if you don't get certified either 1 year before becoming a board member or within 90 days after becoming a board member, you are automatically off the board. And one way of getting certified, just attend our Condo Craze board certification course. We've now certified over 12,000 Floridians. The class was approved by the DBPR to provide two 2017 legal update credits and a human resource credit that's difficult to come by for all community association managers that attend. And we got one coming up this week, Karen.
Yes, we do. I'm surprised the DBPR doesn't charge you to teach. Anyway, our schedule's out, and Eric's going to be all over the map.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, this Tuesday, October 10th, 8:30 in the morning, we'll be in Bradenton at the L&L Condo and HOA Expo.
October 18th, that's at 8:30 a.m. as well, Orlando at the L&L Condo and HOA Expo.
Also, 2 days later, October 20th in Tampa at the L&L Condo and HOA Expo.
October 24th at 8:30 a.m., Palm Beach County Convention Center at the L&L Condo and HOA Expo.
January 18th, your birthday in Palm Beach at the Embassy Suites Hotel.
Yay, we might do a live radio show there too. So, February 15th, Hollywood, Florida, Dave and Buster's.
Yeah, everybody, just reserve early. As you know, these classes fill up very fast. We're flattered by that. Just go to condocrazeandhoas.com to register, please.
And he also teaches so many different topics at the seminar, the importance of the from time to time language, official records, different types of documents that govern your community, service and emotional support animals, collections, manager responsibilities, all of the new laws that were passed this year, and a lot more. Food, delicious food is served. It's free. Everyone walks out with a frameable nice certificate that you passed the course, and certainly a little wiser.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun, and there's so much to learn this year because of all the new laws that were passed. So again, just go to condocrazeandhoas.com to register, and we look forward to seeing everyone, starting, of course, this Tuesday in Bradenton. How about we go to Arthur? How are you, Arthur?
Good morning, Eric. I'm calling from an HOA in Palm Beach County. First, I want to thank you and your firm for all the excellent practical advice to gave communities before, during, and after Hurricane Irma.
Thank you so much.
With questions of mitigation. My question has to do with an offset of what you're talking about, better business practices.
It's a little hard to hear you, Arthur. Is your radio on in the background?
I'm sorry?
A little difficult to hear you. Just talk into the phone a little better.
Can you hear me now?
A little better, yeah.
Okay. What I'm asking is, in a HOA situation, if the insurance company doesn't honor for cause the D&O insurance policy and they refuse to pay the claims, can the board pass on their legal fees to the association?
Well, that happens sometimes. Sometimes the association will put in a claim with their carrier, and the carrier refuses to pay the claim for whatever reason. Could be failure to give notice. It could be because they take the position that the particular suit that the board is being sued for or the claimant's being made is not a covered event under the policy. Could be for a variety of reasons. And if the board makes a decision that, you know what, let's hire independent counsel and we're going to sue the association's insurance company in what's called a breach of contract action or a DEC action, to say you're suing the insurance company for a declaration from the court saying, no, you have to provide coverage here and or you breach the contract, those attorney's fees that are accrued by the association, yes, would be passed on to the unit owners as a legitimate expense of the association.
But what happens in a case where the member of the association has sued the board, the insurance carrier recognizes that they are not liable for cause, and then the board tries to pass on their legal fees back to the association?
Okay. All right. Good question. And Arthur, I apologize to you, but I'm going to terminate your call only because it's very difficult to hear you. But the bottom line is unit owner sues the board. The insurance company says no coverage, and now the board says, well, wait a minute. We're going to pass on these attorney's fees to the unit owner. So let's say board members get sued in their individual capacities all the time. And if you look in the bylaws of each and every association, there's provisions in there typically that call for indemnification by the association to the members that actually get sued, to all board members. You know, a lot of people would not get on the board if there wasn't an indemnification clause
in the
documents, because you know, you take a risk when you get on a board of getting sued. And the bottom line is that indemnification clause protects you from going into your own pocket. Now, sometimes that indemnification clause is pretty clear that you're not going to be indemnified as a result of anything that you do that's intentional, right? You deliberately cause harm to somebody. It would be against public policy for that indemnification clause to cover you. So if it's found in a court of law that you acted with the intent to harm somebody, that indemnification clause would not cover you. Mm-hmm. But if that's not found, then indemnification clauses are usually interpreted very broadly, and that clause in your bylaws would require the association to give back any out-of-pocket expenses that board member incurred as a result of getting sued while he or she was a board member. Long-winded answer, but I hope that answers your question. How about who else we got? We got Ann and Boca.
Yes.
How are you, Ann?
Well,
how are you, Ann?
Fine. Okay, before I ask my question, I just have a statement to make. It seems hopeless for unit owners to even bother to go to arbitration or sue. It seems like they always lose. But anyway, my question is, the new law that says you have to post all your, if you have a complex more than 175 people, you have to post all your documents on a website. Is that correct?
150 units.
Oh, 150. Okay. Now, I understand that they have until July 1918. Is that correct?
Correct. 1918.
Now,
1918.
Assuming,
we're 100 years past.
assuming that you already have a website, isn't it incumbent upon the board to post all these documents, or they get to wait until 18?
You know, it's funny. You would think that the statute would have been clearer if this is where you're heading, and actually have a sentence in there that says it is mandatory to initiate a website. It doesn't even say that, but it should. But the intent of that is, yes, to have a mandatory website up and operational in July of 2018.
So, Ann, you started with the fact that unit owners never win, but, you know, Eric will also represent you, the unit owner.
Yeah, we've done that. We continue to do that. If a unit owner is wronged,
yeah,
oftentimes it's incorrect to say a unit owner never wins in an arbitration or a court of law. It's definitely not the case. If you do it on your own, you're probably going to have a difficult shot if
Eric
you're going
will
up
help
against
you.
An association attorney.
Yeah.
But
my question is, you didn't answer my question. In other words, if we already have a website, do
yes.
they still get to wait until 18
yes.
to put the documents?
Correct. There's no mandatory obligation to put them up now, even if you have a website. Okay?
Unfortunately. Okay, thank you.
Correct. Thank you, Ann. All right, let's take a break. Taking your calls, everybody, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Someday, you will need insurance. And for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. 1-888-298-8838. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officer's and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities, all you need is Insurco. Get a free quote at 1-888-298-8838. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. 1-888-298-8838. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Is your condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116 or grgcpa.com.
Do you know the state of Florida has implemented new laws requiring websites for associations? And they haven't given you a lot of time to get it done. Good news! There's no need to worry, because the expert team at Easy Apps and its website division of Graphics Plus are ready to assess your needs and build a state-compliant site for your association. Board members, this is the right time to take advantage of digital technology and reduce your workload. You'll be able to increase awareness of community events in real time, save money on printing and mailing of newsletters and other documents, collect monthly dues from members of the community right from their phone, communicate with your management company, post notices and other documents, and so much more. And now, for a limited time, Easy Apps and its web design division is offering a discounted price when you order a website and app package, so you can be compliant by the July 2018 deadline. They'll take care of everything and complete the work in time and within budget. Get ready before the rush. Schedule an appointment today at 954-829-2273. That's 954-829-2273. Or visit graphics-plus.biz.
Tired of the lousy quality and customer service from your current internet and telephone provider? Are your monthly bills continuing to go up while the level of service you receive goes down? There is a choice. Based in South Florida, OpticalTel is a fully integrated telecable company utilizing advanced fiber optic technology to deliver video, internet, and telephone service to condominiums and homeowners associations throughout Florida, all at a great price. OpticalTel has defined itself as a leader within the MDU marketplace, providing fiber optics in your home or unit. OpticalTel covers the entire gamut of video, internet, and telecommunication deployment within the condominium and HOA marketplace. Call us before you sign that long-term bulk contract. OpticalTel is the clear choice for video, internet, and phone from beginning to end. Call 1-800-30-FIBER. That's 1-800-30-FIBER, 1-800-30-FIBER, or visit us at OpticalTel.com.
Welcome back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Give Eric a call for any kind of advice, condo or HOA related, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. You've got 15 minutes left to get your question in. And if you have a product or service that our Condo Craze and HOAs listeners can use, why not become a sponsor of our Condo Craze and HOAs radio show? You can have a commercial during the show, have display tables at all of our live events that we do throughout the state. Get to meet hundreds of condo and HOA board members. Your company's logo and website will be posted on the Condo Craze website and on our email blast that we send out every week, as well as in our newsletters that we send out to tens of thousands of community associations all around the state. To find out more, just visit the show's website at CondoCrazeAndHOAs.com.
All right. So as we all know, social media has to some extent completely taken over our lives, right? I mean, anybody can argue that. You know, it'd be difficult to go the other way.
Except for the shooter in Vegas, he had no social media footprint
really, nothing,
whatsoever.
No, no,
that's why
whatsoever.
They ruled out terrorism, because he had nothing on social media.
That's amazing. So, you know, he was weird. I mean, quite frankly, most people have some sort of social presence,
right.
You know, whether it be Facebook, whether it be Instagram. But and those are just but two examples. But let's say, for example, you find yourself in the middle of a lawsuit,
okay.
Right? You know, you're either the plaintiff or the defendant, and you find out that the attorney on the other side of the case against you is a Facebook friend of the judge, right? How would that make you feel when you walk into that courtroom, Karen?
Well, I guess I would want to see, you know, what kind of activity they've had on each other's accounts. Maybe they're just friends, but if they're, like, really good friends and they're, like, you know, whatever, back and forth. I mean, I would feel like I want the judge kicked off the case, I guess, if she is so socializing on Facebook with this other attorney. If they're just friends, that's one thing, but if they're, like, socializing, that's a problem.
Right. And that's, I guess, the point where what the third DCA took a look at in this case, just what kind of relationship is it. But because this actually happened in a Dade County courtroom. Now, one of the parties asked the judge, the trial court judge, to recuse herself when they found out that the judge was actually Facebook friends with the other side's attorney, and that attorney was also a former judge in the same courthouse as the current judge. So that judge refused to recuse herself, saying, hey, being friends on Facebook with the other attorney, that's simply not reason enough to warrant me stepping down and recusing myself from this case.
Then you'd appeal, right?
Yeah, you would think, right. And that's exactly what happened here. There was an appeal that was taken, and the case went to Florida's 3rd District Court of Appeal. And on the 23rd of last month, the 3rd District Court of Appeal issued a really interesting opinion. And here's what they ruled. They ruled that there was nothing wrong. You know, like you said, they wanted that in and of itself might not be enough. And there's nothing wrong with the judge and the attorney just being friends on Facebook, and that the trial judge was right in not recusing herself.
I don't know. I mean, I think you're still not getting a fair shake in that courtroom.
Yeah, and that's how the plaintiff certainly thought. And you know, you'd be in good company if you thought that way, because there's other appellate courts around the country who see it that way, you know, that no, once a judge and an attorney are Facebook friends, that judge needs to step down, but not here in Florida.
Hmm.
So it's making it probable, at least now at this juncture, that the Florida Supreme Court may actually address this issue. I think it's important enough that, yeah, the Florida Supreme Court needs to actually step in and make a decision on this one.
But aren't some attorneys friends with judges outside the courtroom, not on social media, but in general?
Yes, and that's a great example. I can tell you I was involved in a case many years ago, and it was actually three attorneys involved in the case. I was actually in there to represent a corporation while two shareholders were suing each other. And one of the attorneys came in and filed a motion to have me kicked off the case because I was friends with one of the attorneys in the case.
Mm-hmm.
And never forget the trial judge saying, wait a minute, if I would kick people off
yeah.
of cases, attorneys who are friends off of cases, then I'd be disqualifying attorneys in about a third of the cases that are before me.
I mean,
you want attorneys to be friends, don't
yeah,
you?
I mean, can't a judge have friends? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
So,
but, you know, the 3rd District Court of Appeal actually wrote, and we'll quote them, an assumption that all Facebook friends rise to the level of a close relationship that warrants disqualification by a judge, that simply doesn't reflect the current nature of this type of electronic social networking. Even in our, you know, real-life friendship is not a basis for disqualification on its own. Because rural judges, right, in communities where there's only like three attorneys in the whole community,
right.
They would hardly be able to do their jobs at all, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, judges, aren't they supposed to avoid the appearance of impropriety?
Yeah, and that's what the losing counsel argued here. But again, it looks like the Florida Supreme Court will have to deal with the issue. But like you said, this appellate court said, wait a minute, a lot of people have a million Facebook friends.
Yeah, we don't even know.
Right. You know, they think, you know, they're very popular the more Facebook friends they have. But the reality is, in effect, it's a meaningless relationship. So at least the third DCA here said you need to know more about the relationship, just being Facebook friends, not enough. But we'll see how the Florida Supreme Court rules. How about we go to George in Hollandale real quick?
Hey, George.
Hello.
How are you, George? Real quick.
Okay, I'm a board member. I'm just trying to get out of the automatic renewed service contract with a fire alarm company.
From an alarm company. And
George, get off speakerphone. Please.
I'm talking to you through my computer because my cell died on me.
Oh, it's awful.
Okay, so you're in a contract that automatically renews, it seems, right?
Exactly, since 2013. And now it's been renewed in 2016. And now I'm being told that I can't get out of it because I have to advise them 30 days prior or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. George, here's what we're going to do. We're going to answer that your question in general terms, but we're going to click you off so that we don't get the background from where you're located. Okay, so these automatic renewal clauses, you know, Karen, you know, why would I want my attorney? Why do I need to spend money on an attorney to
because
renew
of
my
this.
Contract? Because of this. And I'll tell you where this really comes up the most. Laundry service contracts, right? Where the association wants laundry machines installed in their building, and these contracts have these automatic renewal clauses that go on forever. Now, some good news is that case law has held that if the contract is ambiguous and there's not a very clear intent for these automatic renewal clauses to continue forever, that clause is satisfied with only one renewal.
Okay.
So when that contract renewed by George in 2000, it was a 2013 contract for 3 years, then it renewed in 2016, well, he would have the right to prevent it from renewing again. You know, it's not in perpetuity. But where else you find this problem coming up is in the laundry contract setting, is be careful, associations. A lot of these contracts have provisions in there that says if we replace 50% of the machinery at any one time, the contract starts anew. Okay? So what do you think they do in the last minute?
Replace some of the machinery? Yeah.
Right, contract starts anew. So these automatic renewal clauses can be deadly. I always, without exception, always recommend that they be taken out because if you want to renew, you know, you can renew.
Yeah, but he's got the 30-day thing.
Yeah, I don't know what it says. You know, I'd have to can't comment specifically on his contract until I would actually see it. But I can tell you in general, these automatic renewal clauses, yes, they're very, very, very much enforceable. So be careful about what you sign. All right, so that brings us to the end of another show. Next week, we'll talk about that crazy golf course case, whether or not a developer can take away your golf course for you because the developer now says, wait a minute, you know what? This golf course is no longer profitable to me. Right. So can a developer just take it away from me? We're also going to talk about another case that I warned the Florida legislature this would happen. I warned them, and I was told I have nothing to worry about, and the egg is on their face. Can an association now actually file an arbitration action to contest a recall case? And an arbitrator now holds, no, that's it. The recalls are now automatic. Period. A unit owner, a board member who gets recalled, not entitled to any due process whatsoever. And if that doesn't make you angry as a board member, I don't know what will. But kept us busy and on our toes today, Karen, no?
Oh, yeah. But love it.
And we had a great week, and we look forward to seeing everybody Tuesday as well at the Bradenton Condo and HOA Expo. Steven Diener, thank you for filling in today and helping us. And we will talk to everybody again. Condo Craze and HOAs next Sunday, 11 a.m. Have a great week, everybody.